The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome today to Afternoons with Mike. Here on the Shepherd Radio Network, I have on the line with me Alex Newman. Alex is actually, I think you're from the Central Florida area, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I spend most of my time here now, originally from Miami, though, and grew up overseas, so...
I know I want to hear that story, but I've heard that on a podcast, a Schoolhouse Rocked podcast that I had a chance to listen to you just recently on, and that was so interesting. And there's a lot of things you talked about on that program that I would love to bring up on my show, if you would. I also know that you were recently in Orlando speaking at the Liberty Pastors Conference, and you're about ready to do that again in Texas, right?
That's right, yes. My friend Pastor Paul Blair is putting together these incredible conferences to try to teach pastors on a number of critical issues where, unfortunately, the church really hasn't been doing much training, especially in recent decades. And so Pastor Blair is trying to educate pastors all across the country on these critical issues about, you know, the Christian's civic duties. I've been speaking and teaching through his program on globalism. He's also teaching them some on COVID and the injections and all kinds of different things that he's covering. It really is a wonderful, wonderful program, and I'm looking forward to being in Houston next week for that.
Well, you're with some really, really great friends of ours. We love Paul Blair, and of course, he's on The Shepherd, as would be Dan Celia, and I know you met Dan. And at the Orlando event, another friend of ours, Matt Staver, was there. And I'm sure you had a chance to meet him while you were here in Orlando for that.
Yes, yes. Matt is doing incredible work. I've had the opportunity to interview him, and he is just, I think he's one of the heroes of our time. So it's an honor to be able to know these people, interact with them, and play some small role in you know, what all of us are doing to try to raise awareness and shine the light into the shadows.
Well, officially, welcome to my program, Alex. And for our listeners, Alex Newman is a contributor to Epoch Times. He is an author. You've already heard him talk about the fact that he's a speaker at conferences. And you do a lot of consulting with different groups, political groups, etc. You're known as an educator. You really do and have the benefit of a lifelong kind of observance. You lived overseas for a lot of your life, right?
Yeah, actually, almost my entire life. I've been abroad. We left when I was four. Grew up mostly in Latin America. Then we went to Europe. Then I went to Africa. Then back to Europe, met my wife there, moved to live with her in Scandinavia, and we finally sold our house in Sweden just a couple of years ago, and Florida is now home base. So
that is an amazing background. I mean, your frequent flyer miles had to be something special.
Yeah, I've still got quite a few of those. So.
I would imagine. Alex, how did you come to know the Lord?
Well, it's an interesting story. Actually, a lot of what I was teaching on globalism at the pastors' conference in Orlando, I started digging into that before knowing the Lord. In fact, I was unsaved throughout my childhood and most of my adolescence, really going down the wrong path, addicted to all kinds of very serious drugs. It was a big mess. And while in college, actually, at the University of Florida, believe it or not, I was looking into this whole globalism thing. I first figured out that through a funny series of events, a judge had ordered me to do community service for some trouble I got into. And so as my community service, I went to go work at a communist library, and I picked up a book about how the central banking system worked, and I was appalled and started digging more and more. And that led me into kind of globalism and this really diabolical effort to set up this one world system that is now becoming so apparent. And as I was learning about all this, it was terrifying to me because, of course, I did not know the Lord. As far as I knew, I was on my own up against this monstrous ideology, this monstrous system that was coming into view. And that was very scary. And that's what God used to get a hold of me. In fact, it was just a moment in time. The Holy Spirit just kind of opened my mind. It was like, you know, all this stuff that you're researching, all this, you know, stuff about the globalism and all these evil people, you didn't have to do all your research. All you had to do was read the Bible, and all of that was laid out very clearly there. Mm-hmm. And it was just an incredible experience. That's when I really became convicted. Oh, my goodness, if the Bible is true, that means I'm in sin. That means I need to repent. That means I need the Lord, because I'm in huge trouble here. And life has been very different ever since. So,
you know, when you give your heart to the Lord like you did at this age, and you're finding this out right there, of course, this radio station in Gainesville that's carrying this program right now, right in the home of UF, you know, there are so many people that you're going to school with, and they're appalled too for different reasons about globalism and the economy and even the whole concept of capitalism. Many of them, though, would lean toward communism that are in all of our public schools, our public universities. So you had to come in touch with a lot of different opinions while you were there at the UF campus.
Yeah, it was mostly Marxist opinions.
That's right.
There's no way to deny that the University of Florida was just dominated when it comes to not just the faculty, but unfortunately, even a lot of the student body. Just incredible hostility to God, to the principles, the moral laws that God has revealed in his word, to traditional American principles, even America as a nation. And that was kind of new to me. You know, having grown up outside of the United States, I didn't know a lot about America, but I had always been raised to think that I was very blessed to be an American. My parents always taught me that America was a very special country. I really didn't learn too much American history, but I had a sense that America was a good place. And, you know, having grown up mostly in the third world, I was used to seeing just horrific poverty, oppression, out of control government, incredible corruption. You know, I always grew up thinking America was reasonably nice place. And then to come to this college, I literally had a business writing professor who on the very first day of class said, "Hey guys, I'm your business writing professor and I'm a Marxist." And then he proceeded to tell us why Marxism was awesome and why we needed to bring down the system and all the rest of it. It was shocking to me. And I think for a lot of people who've gone through the American K-12 public education system, all of that just seems kind of normal. University just kind of solidifies the views that were instilled in them during their K-12 education. For me, it had exactly the opposite effect. I recoiled in horror at this attempted brainwashing. And being the kind of rebellious person that I was, I was inclined to resist that just for resisting its sake. And it ended up being a very wise thing to resist that brainwashing. But it really did make me hostile to the ideologies that they were trying to push on me.
So. Now, you know, when you talk about the prevalence of Marxism and the thought about Marxism among the students and even, as you said, among the faculty at a college like UF, where there are so many people that live around the Gainesville area and Central Florida and other colleges, not just that college. This is something that's going on around our country. But do you find, or did you find, when you were there, people who, let's say, just live in Gainesville, work in Gainesville, they know the university's there, they watch Gator games, they, by and large, would not be aware of this Marxist trend right in their backyard. Wouldn't that be your experience?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Central Florida, especially the region around Gainesville, happens to be pretty conservative. If you look all around that area, even in Alachua County, rural Alachua County, which is where Gainesville is, you typically find relatively conservative Americans. You find farmers and ranchers and, you know, businessmen and middle class people who really do love America, who do love the Constitution. Many of them are Christian. Many of them are appalled by what's going on. And that was kind of like real America for me. It just so happened that the university system there in Gainesville was so huge and so entrenched, and they had so many students and so many faculty and so many people tied to it that especially in the local elections, they could absolutely dominate. But once you got out to like the congressional district level, the congressional district that the University of Florida was in was very conservative. But mm-hmm. when I was there, yeah. Cliff Stearns was the congressman, and then Ted Yoho. Ted Yoho especially was one of the most constitutionalist members of the U.S. Congress, and he came from the district that represented the University of Florida. So.
It's really hard to get the brain around, and I think, again, so many people are starting, I'm praying that it will just gain even more momentum, where they're starting to realize that these problems that we're facing right now, they didn't just creep up on us overnight. This has been taught for years in our university systems, this liberal slant now full out admitting that it's a Marxist, progressive, even communist slant. It's like that word that was never wanted to be used is now openly talked about, a desire to be a socialist. And that's what's happening to so many of our colleges around the country. And it's happening right in our backyard.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I've actually traced the origins of this. And one of the things that I found that was so interesting in my research is that the people who originally argued for the government taking over education, and unfortunately, this history has been almost totally lost to the mainstream in America. But the people who first came up with the idea that the government ought to run our education system were communists, even back going back before Karl Marx. Right? For virtually all of human history, parents were in charge of the education of their children. And after the Protestant Reformation, the church stepped in and started playing a more significant role in that. But the idea that the state should be involved in the education of our children is really a modern phenomenon. And if you trace that back to the individuals who made that a reality, what you'll find is that to a man, they were communists, they were socialists, they rejected God, they rejected the Bible, they rejected the principles that God laid out for us in the Bible. I refer to Robert Owen.
Yeah, no, see, I grew up in Evansville, Indiana. That is right down the road from New Harmony, Indiana.
Wow. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. You tell most people Robert Owen and their eyes glaze over. They have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh, I've been there right outside that big maze type thing that they built there. It was just an odd thing right in New Harmony, Indiana.
Wow, that's amazing. And, for those out there who are not familiar with Robert Owen, this was the first man to seriously advocate government control of education, literally since Plato. And I think a lot of people, they want to sound sophisticated, so they praise Plato, not really knowing who he was, what he advocated. If you actually read this man's writings, he was a raging totalitarian. He wanted the philosopher kings to lord it over us, of course, for our own benefit. And he seriously argued that the government ought to educate children. Well, obviously, that did not catch on. But Robert Owen resurrected this idea well over 2,000 years later and said, hey, the reason why our communist utopia isn't working is because these children are being raised in Christian homes by parents who, they're teaching them to be selfish and they're not teaching them to do everything for the good of the collective. What we really need is for the government to take over the rearing of children, starting as soon as we can possibly get our hands on them. And, that idea obviously wasn't very popular. It didn't take off for a very long time, but he laid the groundwork for the government to ultimately take over education. And actually, his ideas were first picked up by the dictatorship in Prussia. They had come to Prussia by way of an ambassador from Prussia. The Prussian dictator implemented them. And it wasn't until the 1840s that Horace Mann was able to start implementing those ideas in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, that laid the groundwork for a government education system in America. And again, Horace Mann was very open about the fact that he rejected Christianity. He rejected the Bible. He really wanted to get the Bible out of the schools, which at that time, it's practically an oxymoron to say education without the Bible. It's just absolutely ludicrous. But that was his agenda, and he stated it clearly. And then that all got picked up by John Dewey, another communist, and further weaponized at the turn of the century between the late 1800s and the early 1900s. And the rest is history. And I mean, it's been downhill ever since, unfortunately.
It has. And our education system today is reflecting this kind of an input, and it's just not that known. And sadly, there are many, many parents right now who are just unaware of what exactly is being taught. Now, that's coming out more and more and more, but this has been going on for so long. It's been now a part of our lives. It's been part of our kids' education. And I know that what you're doing now, one part of what you're doing is a great attempt at re-educating adults and young people as well in the ways that we should be thinking. The Bible talks about us needing to be trained and train up our children we were supposed to, as parents, teach our children, train them up in the ways of the Lord. And there's a lot of kids have grown up anything but that, right?
That's exactly right. One of the things that I have done is search the scriptures for insight into how education is supposed to happen, what education is supposed to look like. And when you read the scriptures, it really comes through loud and clear. Several key elements come through loud and clear. First of all, there's no delegation to Caesar whatsoever for the education, the raising, the discipling of children. In fact, that is a responsibility that falls squarely on the parent. And that is the case from the beginning of the Bible all the way through to the end. Over and over again in Deuteronomy, it's emphasized that parents are the ones who are to be teaching their children. It actually makes clear they're supposed to be teaching them when you wake up in the morning, when you're walking by the way, when you're eating, when you're laying down at night, right? There's no time to hand them over to Caesar for a so-called education. Mm-hmm. We also know what an education is supposed to look like. I mean, if you go to Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I mean, if that's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, the fear of the Lord, and we're sending our children to these institutions where not only do they not teach the fear of the Lord, if they mention the Lord at all, it's to ridicule him and to argue that parents who believe that silly stuff are old-fashioned and naive and you should disobey them. When you recognize that even the most foundational elements of an education are now missing from our so-called education system, suddenly it makes sense why our nation is in a free fall. It makes sense why we're on the highway to cataclysm.
You know, when I was a young man, one of the most notable figures in communism would have been Khrushchev in Russia. And one of the most graphic moments in a speech, he was talking about how that just within a generation, America could be lost because of the fact that our children, if they're trained and they don't have these thoughts, it would only take, in his mind, a generation. And yet we've had a couple of generations of teaching, both in public schools and at the university levels, where the things that you're talking about that the Bible says that parents should be doing, walking with their kids, teaching them in the morning, when they get up, when they lay down, there's supposed to be this concept of our children being immersed in the Word of God. And Alex, we've got a long way to go, don't we? Because our situation today, we've got a couple of generations that really have not been taught at all the concept, the reality, the worthiness of the Word of God.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, they've been specifically trained to believe that God is a myth, that God is not important, that they just came from a series of cosmic accidents, turned into slime, and then eventually came monkeys and then them.
Yeah.
And of course, this is all quite preposterous, but it was the design. And what's so amazing to me is that this was actually officially established by the Supreme Court. If you go back to 1962, 1963, you find that the Supreme Court, really, in the words of one of the dissenting justices here, Potter Stewart, he said the Supreme Court was establishing the religion of secularism. Now, under the guise of enforcing the First Amendment, which says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, the Supreme Court said, we're going to establish a religion. It's just not going to be the religion that America was founded on. It's not going to be the religion of truth, the religion of Christ. Instead, it's going to be really the religion that John Dewey was advocating for. John Dewey himself described his religion as religious humanism. He was one of the co-authors and one of the original signers of the Humanist Manifesto. Anybody can read this document. Mm-hmm. It rejects even the existence of God. And when you actually boil down the religion, it's practically exactly the same thing that the snake told Eve in the garden, right? You got to really say, and God just knows that when you eat that, then you're going to be like God and you can determine for yourself what's right and wrong. It's exactly the same lie that John Dewey was spreading. And unfortunately, this is the religion that the Supreme Court established in our public school system in 1962, in 1963. And, we're seeing the fruit of that now. We're seeing the collapse of our society. We're seeing we've seen now over 60 million babies slaughtered in the womb. We're seeing the desecration of marriage. We're seeing gangs and violence. And I mean, just absolute catastrophe is just right around the corner. And I think it all goes back to this very issue.
We're going to have to pick that back up in the next segment. We're going to be right back. My guest today is Alex Newman. This is The Shepherd. My guest on the line today is Alex Newman. Alex is a contributor to a paper. You know, Alex, I'd love to maybe have you kind of weigh in on the Epoch Times. A lot of people don't know exactly. That's the way I've heard it pronounced. A lot of people say Epoch Times, but I've heard it as epoch, and you would know which one is right.
Yeah, a lot of people use epic times or epoch times or epic times. I think any of them are okay, but I call it the epic times.
The epic times, okay. Well, that's good. Coming from somebody who writes for it, that's a really important newspaper. And what you're reading in that publication, a digital publication, it's also a printed publication, but you can get a digital version of it, which is what I do. You're not going to see a lot of articles anywhere else that paper that you contribute that they're giving out. And it's really important, I believe, for business people, for moms and dads, for young people alike. It's a great read, isn't it?
It is. It's a fantastic paper. It's an honor to be a contributor there. I'm doing some investigative journalism for them. I'm also working on a series now. People can go find that. I think I'm on part 20 now. I'm writing part 21 about the history of the educational system in America. So that's interesting. People can go find that there if they look up my name. And it's been a real blessing. The Epoch Times is now the fourth largest newspaper in America, and they're closing in quickly on the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal. So it's very, very encouraging what's going on. I think people are really hungry for truth, and you'll read a whole lot more truth in the Epoch Times than you will in virtually any other major newspaper in America. It's one of many publications I contribute to. I'm also the senior editor at the New American Magazine, and I've written for probably dozens of publications over my career. A lot of good ones out there still, but the Epoch Times really stands tall as one of the best in the world. So.
You know, Alex, you have such experience, and I think that's greatly because, you know, you come over like you must be 70 years old, and yet you're a young man. And this is because, I believe, of the education that you've had, not only from a school, but from your parents and from traveling around and living in other parts of the world. It's very clear that you're in touch with a way of thinking, and you're identifying this whole thing about humanism. There was a preacher years ago that said, you know, the whole school system wants us to believe that it was merely a state of from the goo to the zoo to you. You know, that is exactly what we've been taught in evolution, and yet that is so ridiculous. When you look at it from a world's perspective, when you look at it from a historical perspective, to realize what is being taught to our kids today in the name of education, it's highway robbery.
It really is. And honestly, in any other industry, anybody perpetrating this kind of fraud on their customers would be put in jail. And that's no exaggeration.
That's well said.
And it's true. If you look at the government's data, you know, the government every 2 years, the federal government does what they call the National Assessment of Educational Progress. They call it the nation's report card. And they take a representative sample of students from across the United States, and they do academic achievement tests. And what they find consistently is that not even one third of the victims of the government's so-called education system are considered proficient in a single core subject, Mike. That means they are not even proficient on the most dumbed-down standards we've ever had in English, in math, in science, in history, in reading, in writing. There's no other industry that could get away with this. I tell people, you know, think of a fast food chain where less than one-third of the people who went in and ordered a cheeseburger actually got anything even remotely resembling a cheeseburger. Most of them got, you know, a decomposing rodent on a piece of moldy bread. You know, that business, the owners, the operators of that business would be thrown in jail. Imagine a plumber that less than one third of the people whose pipes he was supposedly fixing actually got their pipes fixed. And then imagine the nerve of that plumber to mess up your pipes even more and then say, well, you just have to give me more money if you want me to actually fix the pipes like we had originally agreed. It's exactly what's going on in the school system. They're telling us, hey, give us your kids, give us, you know, on average now $15,000 per child per year in America, and we're going to give them an education. We're going to teach them how to read, write, do math, et cetera. And yet the government itself is telling you these children can't read, they can't write, they can't do math. It is systematic fraud, and it would be considered criminal in any other industry.
Now, what would be your number one advice for parents who are right now, they're looking around, and a lot of them have been forced because of COVID to enter into this thing. It's not true homeschooling the way that I know. A lot of homeschoolers would say they're doing, but they are home educating, or at least their kids are taking online classes at home. But what advice would you say to parents right now who are maybe waffling between sending their kids to a public school or teaching them at home? What advice would you give them?
I would say that there's probably nothing more urgent in your life than getting those children out of these indoctrination centers that are dishonestly masquerading as schools, as educational institutions. One of the many things that I do, Mike, I'm the executive director of Public School Exit. It's an increasingly significant ministry. It's a nonprofit, and of course, my job is unpaid, just a volunteer. But our goal is to get as many children out of the public school system as possible, as quickly as possible. And I tell parents who are thinking about this, look, imagine if the school building was on fire. Okay, so your child's inside, the building's burning up, you know, you hear your child screaming, you see them, you know, coming back, they can't read, they can't write, they can't do math, they think they're a new gender, you know, they hate certain people because of how much melanin they have in their skin. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. And so the building's on fire. And you're thinking, well, what do I do? And if sign a petition or run for school board or go yell at the school board, if those are the things that are popping into your mind, I don't think you're thinking about this clearly. Okay, your child's inside and the building is burning. The first thing any sensible parent should do is run in the building, grab the child, and get them to safety. You know, then you can do the other things. If you want to run for school board after your child is safe, that's a whole different thing. But I tell parents, there's nothing more important you can do for your children right now than get them out of the government's indoctrination system and get them a good education. I think homeschooling is the gold standard for those who can do that. And I think almost anybody can do that. For those who can't, you need to find a really good alternative that is not in bed with the government. And maybe that's a local Christian school. I just so happen to teach for an online K-12 Christian school called Freedom Project Academy. We've got students all across the country and in 15 different countries now. And there are many options like that. But, you know, doing government school at home is not homeschooling. So because the government gave you a laptop and they're pumping the filth into your living room, don't think that that's homeschooling. Your child is still going to be damaged. And again, you don't have to believe me on this. Just look at the government's own data and it'll show you clearly what a risk your children are at right now.
Well, we're all hearing daily about the emphasis being placed upon not only by the government, but in schools about gender, like you talk about gender confusion, a new way of looking at life when a baby is born that you don't really know whether it's a boy or girl anymore. I mean, where is this all going to go? I mean, it's nuts when you look at what our kids are hearing, and they're not being taught this as being a thought or an idea. This is being taught as the gospel truth to these kids.
Yeah, and they're also being taught that any resistance, that any criticism of these ideas is hatred, it's bigotry, it's discrimination, it's fascism. Okay, and so I mean, that's how serious this situation is right now. It's working. I mean, it's very effective. If you look at the polling data now, 27% of California's children claim to be gender nonconforming. So they're boys who don't recognize that they're boys or girls who don't recognize that they're girls. When I was a kid, which wasn't that long ago, it was unheard of. I mean, I grew up in 8 different countries on 4 continents. I never met a boy who thought he was anything other than a boy. I never met a girl who thought she was anything other than a girl. It's happening in conservative states now. There have even been instances where government schools took children to go have sex changes against the wishes of their parents. Folks, and when I say the building's on fire, it's not even an appropriate analogy because a fire will just hurt your children physically, right? And yeah, the government schools are hurting your children physically, but they're destroying them academically, emotionally, socially, spiritually, morally, intellectually. I mean, the fire would be much less devastating to your children. And the gender stuff, it's just the tip of the iceberg. The critical race theory is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. It's been going on for a long time, and the data speaks for itself. Something like 80 to 90% of our Christian children from good Christian homes and families after 12 years in these brainwash camps are leaving the church. They're abandoning their faith. And this is by design. It's not an accident.
Now, when you've come to this, you've studied this, you still study this. This is something that obviously is in a good way has consumed you. How do you, at the end of the day, how do you find peace in your heart to even be able to go to sleep? Because I think that is going to be an answer that will help some people, because I know a lot of parents right now who are full of anxiety about what is going on in not only in the schools, but in the world, the headlines, the whole thing about COVID. You know, what do you see is the answer for this?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I think for non-Christians, it's impossible to find peace in this crazy world that we live in. I mean, for obvious reasons, it's getting crazier and crazier by the minute. But, you know, I have five children myself. We homeschool them all. And so that gives me a great sense of security. I think the best thing that a Christian can do is to follow to the best of your ability the commands of your Lord and your Savior and your King. Do what he says, and it'll be easy to sleep at night. And actually, I was just teaching on this last weekend at church. It's something that hit me like a ton of bricks just a couple weeks ago. You know, God tells us to fear not many, many times in the scriptures. In fact, he tells us very clearly that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. But going back to the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, we have this incredible story where the men go in to spy out the land that God had given them. Moses sends them in. And so Joshua and Caleb and the other men go, and they find these giants, right? And then they come back. And the men say, oh, my goodness, it's terrible. They're giants. We look like grasshoppers. We have to run. There's nothing we can do. And Joshua and Caleb say, no, guys, what are you thinking? I mean, with God on our side, we can take on these giants. It'll be no problem at all. And you read in Numbers chapter 13 how furious God becomes about the fear that his people are exhibiting. He's like, you know what? I just took you guys out of Egypt. I just did all kinds of miracles right in front of your face. I just destroyed the most powerful ruler in the world. And you guys still want to doubt me? God actually gets so mad that he says, I'm going to destroy this people. So Moses intercedes on their behalf. You know, God, don't destroy them. You know, then the Egyptians are going to see that and they're going to laugh. And so maybe better we just punish them. And God is so serious about this. He actually says, look, none of these people who were cowards are ever going to go see the promised land. Mm-hmm. So I tell Christians, yes, it can look scary. It can appear scary. But when you realize that God is your father, that he's adopted you into his family, and that he is sovereign, there's nothing to be scared of. Yes, it looks crazy. But when you put your faith and your trust in the creator of the heavens and the earth, it's easy to sleep soundly. There's nothing to be concerned about. You do what you're told, and God's got all the rest of it under control.
And that's true for parents. It's true for business owners. And, you know, it's like we live in a time right now where there's not a shortage of things to be concerned about, right?
That's true, yeah.
My goodness, with all that's going on, just in the COVID thing alone and the mask arguments, and this is just like an ongoing nightmare that I'm wondering if we're going to wake up from, or if this might be. I mean, we've talked about the new normal for years. We've got to get back to normal, or maybe get to a new normal. And there's a lot of people right now starting to think, I think we've seen the new normal. Would you think that?
Well, that's what the very, very powerful people want. I mean, there is a diabolical agenda to make this totalitarianism the new normal. Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, which is pushing this great reset, he actually went up on stage and he said, look, when we look back, the history of the world is not going to be divided anymore between before Christ and Anno Domini, AD. The new defining time will be coronavirus. He said, we'll look back and we'll say before coronavirus will be BC and AC will be after coronavirus. So these people fully intend to keep all of these totalitarian measures in place if we let them, if God lets them. So I think we need to actively resist. I think this is evil. It's based on a lie. It's disgusting. It really has been used to wage war on the church. It's been used to wage war on liberty. And we know that liberty is from God. So I think we need to resist. But if these people get their way, there's no question that they will keep this in place indefinitely.
Now, if we can learn a lesson from the past, and we go back and we look at Robert Owen one more time before we take the next break. Robert Owen was this early, even before Marx, kind of a communist, kind of a thinker along the lines of Marxism. And he goes to New Harmony and he has these ideas. And these ideas, he even built something that still stands to this day. Although I think most people in New Harmony, they don't even know what it stands for. They don't know the real purpose for it. They just know it was there. What happened to him? And I think a lot of people are saying maybe this too will find a similar fate. What happened to Owen that caused all of that to come crashing down?
Well, he tried his communist utopia, and it collapsed within a couple of years. Because, look, you know, the principle of private property, that's ordained and revealed by God. God's the one who said, thou shalt not steal. Okay, that's a divine principle that God has laid out for us. The family, right? He wanted to get rid of the nuclear family and have the collective raise the children. Again, you're going up against the laws of God, and everything that goes up against God is going to be brought to naught. But one of the things that Robert Owen did was he set up a secret society. We know about this because one of the members of this, his name was Orestes Brownson, actually participated in this. He helped organize the state of New York. He said the great object of this society, other than shifting public opinion in favor of government schools and getting men elected to the legislatures who would support a government takeover of education, said the great goal, the great object of this plan was to get rid of Christianity. And we know from God's word that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. So we can be confident that what God is building will remain. It will stand the test of time. What they are building is going to crash and burn.
Oh, man, I love talking to you, man. That is the right answer. And I'm grateful that we have a God who loves us and he has not given up on us. He's not given up on his church. And at the end of the day, his law still reigns and rules. God is God, and there is no other God. My guest today is Alex Newman. We're going to be back with Alex coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Back on the line for one more segment with Alex Newman. Alex is a contributor to Epoch Times. He's an author. He's a teacher. He's a consultant. He's an educator. And he is a strong believer in the Lord. And I am so grateful to have him on the program today. I'm actually encouraged, Alex, to hear from you because, number one, you've studied this. You're still studying this. And you're pointing people everywhere you go, through teaching school to doing these seminars with people like Paul Blair and the Liberty pastors. And my question right now would be, when you're taking the message that God has given you, which is so radically different to what's out there in the mainstream media or what's being taught in our public schools, what kind of response are you getting?
Well, you know, we should expect a lot of opposition when we're speaking truth. In fact, they hated our Lord, and our Lord told us, hey, they hated me first, they're going to hate you too. And so there is some of that. I mean, I went up to Atlanta just last week, and Antifa put out a notice that I was coming up there, like, oh, this isn't good. So, you know, there are people who hate the truth and therefore hate the people who speak the truth. But I've been really encouraged. I'll give you an example. In 2019, I traveled across the entire country. I loaded up my family. We got an RV, and I did probably close to 100 speaking engagements in, I think, 43 states, speaking about what was going on in the public schools. And it wasn't nearly as bad 2 years ago as it is today. But I'm telling this to people all across the nation. And I had one person stand up and challenge me during the Q&A after my event. I was up in Kalispell, Montana, and one guy stands up and he says, hey, I know the principal of my local school district or of my local school, and he's a Christian, and so I don't think it's really as bad as you're saying. And I asked him, okay, that's wonderful that your local principal is a Christian. Now, is he teaching the children in the school the truth about the Bible and Christ? And the answer was, oh, I guess you're right. Okay. And so he sat back down. And that was the extent of the opposition that I encountered while explaining to parents what was going on in the government school system, what the Bible says about the education, the raising, and the discipling of children. Honestly, I expected a lot more. And yet everywhere I went, I had teachers, I had school board members, I had members of state school boards saying, oh, my goodness, Alex, you're exactly right. Thank you for speaking the truth. So I've been incredibly encouraged by how well people are receiving the truth on these issues. I think people are recognizing truth when they see it. You're right, they're not getting it from the mainstream media, but there's a real hunger out there. We were blessed to be born into a nation that was founded and created around biblical principles. And I think even though we've gone through several generations now of indoctrination, of turning our people against God, there's still a hunger for the truth, and there's still a recognition when they hear truth that, oh my goodness, That's correct. So I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing, Mike.
I'm very encouraged to listen to you talk about this, because I think it what you said earlier, just a moment ago, you made this statement. You said it's not as bad today as it was 2 years ago. And I'm thinking, holy cow. Think about the things that have come out in the news, things that have radically changed our nation just in the last 2 years. In fact, you could just think about the things that's happened in 2021. And it would be shocking. It's not the same country. And things they're changing at warp speed right now, aren't they?
They certainly are. But I think we have an awakening going on in America that is so significant. And your average person is not hearing about it. They're not seeing it. You're not seeing it. They're not talking about it on the television, even on, you know, Fox News. It's just completely under the radar right now. But God is doing something huge in this country right now. We know that just in the last year, Mike, the number of families that are homeschooling their children has more than doubled. Think about the impact. These are millions of children who are being pulled out of this godless pagan indoctrination system that are going to be receiving, many of them, a solid Christian education, a biblical worldview. They're going to be taught how to read and write properly. These are going to be future leaders. And the impact that these millions of properly trained and educated and discipled children are going to have on the world in the decades to come, it's incalculable. It's so huge. And yet your average person has no sense of what's going on. But God is doing something extraordinary, something enormous. And I think we're going to see the repercussions of this long into the future.
Now, what would be your thoughts on what's going to happen with the messes that are kind of like right in front of our noses today? The whole mess with Afghanistan, the mess with the border, the mess with this issue of transgenderism and gender confusion and all of that. What are some of the things that you think it's going to happen yet in the balance of this year?
Well, you know, it's interesting you asked that question. I actually wrote right at the end of 2020, I wrote an article for my own personal website, libertysentinel.org, where I gave a number of potential trends that we may see developing in 2021. And I hate to say I told you so, but unfortunately, a lot of what I imagined would be coming in 2021 is now here. I suspect that things are going to, at least on the surface, deteriorate further. I believe that we're now in a period of incredible transformation, incredible transition, and it's going to become uncomfortable. Maybe uncomfortable is an understatement for Americans. We're in the process now of transitioning at the global level away from what historically has been called the unipolar world order, where the United States was the only superpower on the scene, where the American empire, we had military bases in over 100 countries. I mean, nothing moved without the approval of the United States. That era is ending. We're moving now toward what these people themselves describe as a multipolar world order, where Beijing and Moscow and Berlin and Paris will all be playing a much more significant role in international affairs. So the United States will be reduced, I think, pretty significantly economically, militarily. And I think that's a direct result. It's a direct consequence of our turning away from our Creator, away from God. And I think on the one hand, you have the enemies of the United States and the enemies of God who think they're orchestrating this. I mean, they believe that this is, you know, part of their little plan, that it's deliberate. But in another very real sense, we know from God's word that you reap what you sow. And our nation has been reaping abortion, 60 million babies we've murdered. We're making a mockery of marriage. We're brainwashing our kids. I mean, we're now reaping what we sowed. I think a lot of this that we're seeing is really God's judgment. And I have a strong sense that it may get a lot worse before it gets better. But, you know, historically, God uses judgment and discipline and punishment to get people to turn from their wicked ways and to turn back to Him. And so I hope that's what will come out of this. I hope the American people don't dig in their heels and become even more defiant. But I do think we're heading into some real turbulence here, socially and economically, and even at a global level. I think it's going to get very, very hectic in the months and the years that are ahead.
Now, we know that the current administration will not have any a degree of change, at least until the midterm elections in 2022. Do you believe that the damage, and you've already said you think it's going to get worse, do you think the damage could be so great that no change is going to really be able to be wrought for would maybe decades? Would you think it's possible that that could be the case?
Oh, I'm almost certain. We did not get into the mess that we're in overnight. In fact, it took generations to get us where we are today. And there will be no easy fix. People who think that God's just going to come and sort out all our problems for us, it's not going to happen, I don't think, at least not in the immediate future. It took generations to get into this mess. And if we're going to get out of it, it's going to be a long process. It's going to be national repentance. It's going to be turning from our wicked ways. It's going to be re-educating our children and just completely reorienting our society away from the filth, from the perversion, from the Hollywood propaganda. Honestly, Congress is, unfortunately, as much as I hate to admit this, it's a reflection of the American people today. We live in a system where we elect our leaders, and I know there's a lot of questions about the 2020 election. I share those concerns. But if we're honest, Congress is a fairly accurate representation of where the American people are today. Mm-hmm. And that pains me to say that. So if we want a better Congress, if we want a better political system, that's going to require an improvement in the American people.
So. Mm. What's going to happen now in this conference that you're coming up to teach with Paul Blair? What are you expecting there?
Well, I think this is one of the most encouraging things that's happening anywhere in America right now is these pastor training conferences that Pastor Paul Blair and his co-pastor Dan Fisher are organizing. As you mentioned, they had one in Orlando recently. We just had one in Oklahoma. The next one is going to be in Houston. After that, we'll be doing more in states across the country. And what's happening, for the people who aren't familiar with these, they're bringing pastors together from all across the state and even sometimes from out of state, and they're training them about what the Bible says, teaching them how to preach the whole counsel of God and how that applies to the political realm and how that applies to education and how that applies to international affairs and to business and to all areas of our lives. Because as Pastor Paul Blair says, if Jesus is our Lord, he needs to be the Lord over all areas of our life. And so they're teaching pastors to teach this. And it's really a transformative event. And if you look at the history of our nation, it was the pastors who paved the way for all of it. It was the pastors who preached to their congregations that got them to come and settle here in the new world for the advancement of the gospel and the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It was the pastors who preached from their pulpits that we needed to separate ourselves from the tyranny of King George. And that's what ultimately led to America as a nation being founded. And if this is going to be turned around, it's going to come from the pastors. And right now, there's nothing, I think, as significant as what Pastor Paul Blair is doing on this front. Hundreds of pastors across America are getting incredible information, and it really is transforming lives. It's transforming churches, and I think it's going to be transforming entire states.
Now, from your perspective, when you're there, and you were there in Orlando, what are you hearing the responses of these pastors being?
They're overwhelmed. I mean, we had 200 pastors in Orlando and their wives, a huge crowd. I mean, 400, maybe 500 people were there. And after a lot of the speakers, the pastors got up and standing ovation. And at the end of the event, they do kind of like an altar call. And they say to the pastors, look, you've been here for 3 days. You've learned a lot. If you want to join us, in this enormous undertaking with God's blessing, we're going to do these things. Please come up to the front and sign your name, sign this muster roll. And every single pastor in the room went up and signed up. Not a single one said, hey, I don't want to participate in that. I listened for 3 days and I don't want anything to do with it. None of them. And we had pastors from Haiti, from Haitian, Jamaican, Cuban, from every kind of community, every kind of church out there. And yet they were all on the same page about, we need to be united in Christ, in the Word of God, and this needs to apply in every area of our lives. So I think something really significant is happening here, Mike.
Well, I tell you, that is very exciting. And I was there, and it was an amazing thing to see and behold and to listen and to be able to be impacted by all of the speakers, you included. But I know our listeners have really enjoyed hearing your opinions, your thoughts. Alex, how can people follow you? Give us your website.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. My personal website is libertysentinel.org. That's libertysentinel.org. I'm the senior editor of the New American Magazine. You can find us at thenewamerican.com. Regular contributor to the Epoch Times. That's theepoch.com. I'm the executive director of Public School Exit. As I mentioned, you can find us at publicschoolexit.com. All the resources you need to get your children safely out of the government school system as quickly as possible. That's a handful of the places where people can find me. But I just want to thank you so much for having me on the program, Mike. I appreciate what you're doing. And it's been a real honor to be able to chat with you for a while.
I've enjoyed it so much, Alex. And you got to come back to the studios here when you're in Orlando. And you're not too terribly far away from us. So I look forward to the day of your return, my man. And thank you for being here. And friends, thank you for joining us as well. Catch you the next time. Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.